You're listening to the Jewish Living Podcast. I'm Rabbi Nachum Meth. Well, welcome everyone as we continue our Jewish Living class and we continue the laws of davening, the laws of prayer. And I guess maybe let's wrap up the unit or the subunit on when do we daven, the timing, the scheduling of davening. We spoke two classes ago about how the Jewish day, how it operates. We talked about the ideas of Netz Hachama, sunrise. We talked about the idea of Shkia, sunset, and that basically everything on the Jewish clock really pivots around those two hard points. Those are the two hard times that you can really calculate. Use your any app that you might have. Those are reliable. Myzmanim is a great app that really will give you all of the breakdown of all of these halachic times. But again, sunrise and sunset, once you have those two data points, you can really extrapolate virtually everything. We spoke about the idea how before sunrise, there's something called Alos HaShachar, which is dawn, which is calculated depending on where you are and how you are by the sun being a little bit more than 16 degrees below the horizon, really beginning at Alos, at dawn. You could certainly, not much really changes, but it's really Mishayakir, which is about 10 degrees below the horizon. When the sun is 10 degrees below the horizon, that's really a very significant time in halacha. That's when you can make a bracha, the prayer on the talis and the tefillin. Even though you could put on your talis and tefillin before then, you just can't make a bracha on it. Also, your davening, you could really start your davening before this mishayakir, this point of time of recognition where you can recognize people. You could daven earlier. You have to time it so that you get up to the bracha of Yotzer HaMa'oros, which is one of the prayers, the brachas on the Shema. That bracha cannot be recited before the time of Mishayakir. So that's really in terms of the earliest a person could daven, that would be then. In terms of the latest times a person could daven, we said that the Shema needs to be recited before Sof Zman Kriyas Shema, before the end of the time of Kriyas Shema, which is three halachic hours. If you recall, just as again as a reminder, there are what we call halachic hours, Sha'os Zmanios, time-bound hours. A halachic hour is not 60 minutes. A halachic hour is from the beginning of the day to the end of the day divided by 12. And we point out there's a dispute. Is the beginning of the day from sunrise to sunset, or is the beginning of the day from dawn till stars out? That's a machlokes. We tend to be lenient with these things. So Sof Zman Kriyas Shema, the latest time you can recite the Shema, we tend to follow the opinion of the Vilna Gaon, of whom we talked about on Sunday, who are there, anyone who is there, that is who we tend to follow, although it is a virtuous thing to do to try to catch the earlier time. It's definitely a good thing to do, but those who follow the Vilna Gaon's opinion, you're in fine shape. So that's 3 hours into the day. Keep in mind, we're changing the clocks next week. Everything changes. It really does impact, not just, you know, oh my gosh, is the sun up and it really impacts halachic times in a very, very significant way. So notably, Sof Zman Kriyas Shema will be off. Well, actually, it will be better, I think. Sof Zman Kriyas Shema. Right now, Sof Zman Kriyas Shema is 9 o'clock, which is very early. So I think when we change the clocks, it'll go to 10, unless I'm 8. No, it'll go to 10. So that's actually good. There's something called Sof Zman Tefillah, the latest time you could say the Shemona Esrei, which is 4 hours into the day. If a person was held up for a legitimate reason, you could recite the Shemona Esrei up until halfway through the day. That was that. Well, let's talk about, to sort of wrap up this subunit on the when of davening, let's talk about Mincha, the afternoon prayer, and Mariv, the evening prayers. Mincha, to understand Mincha and Mariv, it's helpful to understand, just to maybe a brief review, what were Mincha and Mariv? Why do we pray Mincha and Mariv? When we understand the why, we'll then have a better understanding of the when. If you recall, why we recite Mincha is Mincha was established parallel to the Karban Tamid, the daily offering, daily communal offering that was brought, shacharis, the morning davening, is the morning tamid daily sacrifice. The mincha was brought parallel to the afternoon sacrifice. It, therefore, the halacha is mincha, the zmanim, the halachic times of the earliest you could daven mincha and the latest you can daven mincha, parallel to the earliest time they would bring this karban tamid and the latest time they would bring the karban tamid, this afternoon sacrifice. It really just parallels that, that's the sacrifice, the karban tamid in the afternoon. And the halacha is going to be, you're going to see, it's actually a matter of A, dispute, and B, preference when the afternoon karban was brought. Okay, so that's we'll give you the bottom line, but there are certain halachic preferences. Really, ideally, now the one thing about the afternoon welcome, the one thing about the afternoon daily sacrifice, the karban tamid of the afternoon, it's an interesting thing. Once that sacrifice was brought, the Beis Hamikdash was closed for business. It was the final service of the day. After it was brought, no other karbanos were brought. Because of that, they used to, typically, they wouldn't bring it, they wouldn't offer the sacrifice very early in the day because they wanted to give time for people to do other things. It was usually pushed off a little bit. And that's why in theory, at least in halacha, there's something called mincha ketana. Mincha ketana is defined as 9 1/2 hours, and then again, these halachic hours into the day. If you want to know when that is, again, you pull up your handy dandy app. Let's see what they say. Let's go to myzmanim.com. Let's see what time is mincha. Well, they don't even have mincha ketana. They don't have mincha ketana as a, okay. It's the reason why is some people are particular to try to only daven mincha ketana, but practically, we're not so rigid about it, and we allow mincha to be davened as early as noon plus 30 minutes. Noon plus 30. Really, technically speaking, it could have been brought as early as midday, high noon. But again, halachic noon. Halachic noon today was 11:52. The halacha is you're supposed to wait 30 minutes. Typically, we say 30, not halachic minutes, but 30 actual minutes. So the earliest you could daven mincha today is 12:22. If you want to daven mincha, the earliest you could, that's called mincha gedola. 12:22 is the earliest that you could daven. Now, typically, they did not bring the carbon, the afternoon sacrifice that early, but every now and again, on an occasion, specifically in one unusual scenario, when, don't ask why, it's too detailed, but when Erev Pesach fell out on a Friday, so then they used to bring the Karban Tamid, the afternoon sacrifice, at 6 1/2 hours into the day, because for whatever reasons, they had to do that to allow for the Karban Pesach to be, the Paschal Lamb to be brought in its appropriate time, even though typically they usually ought to bring it later, but since technically speaking, they would bring it as early as 6 1/2 hours, which is again, noon plus a half hour, that's the earliest you could daven mincha is 12:22, and that's the accepted minhag. There are people who try to only daven what's called mincha ketana, which is at 9 1/2 hours into the day, but the Mishnah Brura really says, don't worry about it. And that seems to be the generally accepted practice, is if you want the early time to daven mincha is at noon plus a half hour. Am I making sense? Everyone with me? What's the latest you can daven mincha? This is a very practical question because oftentimes we're running late, things got delayed. Rabbi, what's the latest time I could daven mincha? The question, again, when we ask is the why. Before we answer when, let's answer why. Why do we daven mincha? It's parallel to this afternoon sacrifice. What was the latest that they would possibly bring this karban, this sacrifice? If they got delayed, again, they usually bring it earlier, but if they got delayed, what was the latest that it would be brought? The answer is, the actual answer, it's a machlokes. It's a matter of disagreement. Let's go with the latest practical position, because that is how we follow. But let's get back to this disagreement, because it will become relevant. You'll see in a few moments. According to the Rabbanan, the rabbis, the majority opinion, they would bring the carbon, the Todah, the afternoon sacrifice, as late as Erev, is what the halachic language is, the evening, which is a little ambiguous. When does that mean? The halacha is people try to really be particular to daven mincha and have ideally be finished davening mincha at shkia, at sunset. That's the ideal preferred thing, and really we should stick to that. If a person, oftentimes it happens, or hopefully not often, but on occasion it will happen, person's running really late, they forgot, they're traveling, whatever. What's the absolute latest you can daven is, technically speaking, the language is Erev, the evening. And the question is, what does that mean? And it's pretty clear from the halacha. They would bring the carbon tamid if needed be, even after shkia, after sunset. Ramosha Feinstein, this is, if you're asking me, what's the absolute latest that a person can daven mincha? If you're asking me, and I'm not saying this is a unanimous opinion, ideally, again, you should be completed your mincha before shkia. That's really the preferred thing. If you're really backed up, 9 minutes after shkia, you could start your Shmona Esrei, just daven quickly. Okay? Shkia plus 9 minutes. Sunset plus 9 minutes. I'm not saying that's the universal standard. Other people say you can't do that 9 minutes. Other people say you go way past 9 minutes. I'm telling you what I would do. 9 minutes, within 9 minutes, I would start my Shmona Esrei. After that, I would skip my mincha. But even at 9 minutes, I would daven quickly. Okay, does that make sense? And that seems to be a pretty good standard. Now, so far, thoughts, questions before we go on? Okay, so that's the story with mincha. The question is, okay, so when do we daven Mariv? Mariv is the evening prayers. The answer is, if you think about it, again, why do we daven Mariv? Mariv is established in parallel to when they finished, when they closed the base Hamikdash, when the temple was closed for business, they would then do they would burn the Imurim, they would burn anything that was left over. When did they start doing that service? The answer is immediately after the latest time that they could do the mincha. In other words, the afternoon, once the afternoon sacrifice was brought, immediately whenever that number is, you can then go to Mariv. Okay? It goes from mincha to Mariv. So whenever is the time for mincha, after that, the latest time for mincha, you can then do Mariv. So typically speaking, what that's going to mean is, well, we just said that the Rabbanan said, and this is the ideal how we say it, it's shkia, sunset. Which means you could daven mincha in theory. Again, we say we'll give you a little bit of leeway. We'll give you those 9 minutes. But in theory, mincha should be recited before sunset, which means Mariv can be recited after sunset. And that's, in theory, the answer. And that's actually, in practice, the answer. If you daven mincha before sunset, Mariv after sunset, everyone goes home a winner. Okay? With one important point. Very important point. As I mentioned to you, it's a machlokas. It's actually a matter of dispute, of disagreement. I presented to you the opinion of the Rabbana, the rabbis. The truth of the matter is, there is another opinion. Hopefully this isn't too confusing. There's another opinion in the Mishnah of the great sage Rabbi Yehuda. This is not Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the compiler of the Mishnah, I believe. It's a different sage, Rabbi Yehuda. He argues that no, actually the Tamid, the afternoon sacrifice, really can only be brought till Plag HaMincha, which do I have it written down over here? The exact time to Plag HaMincha is a little bit before sunset. It's, I believe, an hour and a quarter. I don't have it written down here. Plag HaMincha is, I believe, an hour and a quarter before, an hour and a quarter halachic hours before the end of the day. Something called Plag HaMincha. That was the latest time that they would bring this afternoon sacrifice. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the latest time, right? Each opinion really is a leniency and a stringency, because both opinions, really two things emerge. What's the latest time you can daven mincha? And what's the earliest time you can daven mariv? That's why it's right? It's very interesting. According to the Rabbanan, according to the rabbis, the latest time you can daven mincha is sunset. The earliest time you can daven Mariv is sunset. the line is sunset. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the latest time you could daven mincha is this time called plag hamincha, which is roughly an hour and a quarter before the end of the day. The earliest time you could daven mariv is an hour and a quarter before the end of the day. Okay? Who do we paskin like? What's the halachic ruling? This is very important. The answer is we actually follow both halachic opinions. This is it's very cool, and it creates a halachic oddity, which actually comes into practice all the time. We actually follow both opinions, which means, in theory, you could daven, what would be the earliest you could pray Mariv? As early as this halachic time called Plag HaMincha. You can, theory, can daven Mariv before, you know, as early as Plag HaMincha, because you would say, I'm a Rabbi Yehuda man. I follow Rabbi Yehuda. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda man. Which means, fine, the latest I could daven Mincha is also Plag HaMincha. If you say, I'm a Rabbanan man, so you could daven Mincha all the way up to sunset and Mariv after sunset. So we follow both opinions. Not only that, you can change. You don't have to like declare the day you're a bar mitzvah, I follow one opinion and stick to that. In theory, you can switch. In theory, it's not great, but you can, and we do. And I'll tell you when we do. Have you ever heard of making early Shabbos? Talking about making early Shabbos. What are we doing when you make early Shabbos? Shabbos really begins at the halachic end of the day. When does Friday end? The answer is sunset. We make early Shabbos. You can accept Shabbos as early as Plag HaMincha. If you do that, it's just fine. You can accept Shabbos as early as this halachic time called Plag HaMincha. Again, check your WhatsApp or whatever it is, your MyZmanim app. Plag HaMincha today was 4:27. 4:27. What that means is you daven mincha before 4:27 and daven mariv after 4:27. And now you're great. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda guy. Not a problem, which means you can daven mariv. People are always confused. How can you daven? Isn't mariv the evening prayer? It is. It's not the great way of translating it. It's not the evening prayer. It's the prayer that, I mean, we do use those words and there are a lot of references to evening, but it's not a prayer. That's why I talked about when the day begin, when does the day end? It's like, there are different ways of answering that question. Mariv is not really connected to the halachic day. It's when did they start burning the imurim, burning the leftovers in the Beis HaMikdash? They started doing that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as early as Plag HaMincha. Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, Plag HaMincha doesn't mean that's the beginning of the new day. That's the end of the day. It means that's when the temple closed for service. Close for business. So we follow this opinion, and we do follow this opinion, and that's where early Shabbos comes from. Okay? With another important caveat. We suggest that the halachic strong preference is, and it's not so clear why, at least in my opinion, I get heck whenever I bring this up, but I think I'm right, is like this. Is if you really think about it, what is that an inconsistency? How can we follow both Rabbi Yehuda and both the Rabbanan? It's like weird. And I'm, well, you know, today I follow the Rabbanan's opinion. Tomorrow I follow the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That's like a little odd. The answer is it's not so odd if you really stop and think about it. Halacha, we're saying these are both very qualified opinions. You can rely on either one. They'll walk you into heaven. Don't worry. You don't have to answer the question. These were the Rabbanan. These are Rabbi Yehuda. These are both, you know, people of not people, like the Rabbanan were the majority. These are halachically reliable sources. And even though, yes, in theory, they can't coexist, but since they are both reliable halachically, we can follow both. And it's fine. That's God's problem. It's not my problem. It's halacha. It actually, if you think about it, we can follow both opinions. They're both reliable. And that is true. The one thing that you're supposed to avoid is what's called tarti desasri. You may have heard of this. Tarti desasri, which means you shouldn't do two things that contradict one another. Meaning, can you do the following? I'll daven, it's right. So again, Plag HaMincha is an hour and a quarter before sunset. So I'm in that hour and a quarter. Can I go daven Mincha after Plag HaMincha, after this hour and a quarter thing, and say, I'm the Rabbanan man, I'm good. Because they say you can go all the way up to sunset. and then go straight to Mariv and say, I followed for Mariv, I followed Reb Yehuda, right? There really shouldn't be a problem with that. For Mincha, I followed the Reb Yehuda, I followed the Rabbanan. For Mariv, I followed Reb Yehuda. You're not supposed to do that. In one given day, you should straddle Plagamon. You shouldn't do it for back-to-back prayers. You're not supposed to do that. So if you're going to make early Shabbos, you should make sure you daven Mincha before Plag HaMincha and Mariv after Plag HaMincha. You want to straddle Plag HaMincha. Therefore, Mincha and Mariv work both according to Reb Yehuda. Did I make sense there? Was that too mathematically complicated? In other words, Mincha and Mariv, you should be consistent back to back. The same day. Otherwise, it's called Tarti Desasri. You're doing two things that are contradictory. How can you daven Mincha and say I'm a Rabbanan man, and then daven Mariv and say I'm a Rabbi Yehuda man, back to back? It looks funny. It's Tarti Desasri. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I've always had big beef with that. I'm like, if we follow both opinions, you follow both opinions. What I could do on Thursday, I could follow Rabbanan, and Friday do Rabbi Yehuda. So who cares if it's it that in that exact moment? I believe that the idea is it's just that it looks funny. In 2 days, it doesn't look as funny. I think that's my understanding of what Tarti Desasri is a Aramaic expression, which means two things that contradict one another. And it's not that it halachically contradicts, because it doesn't. We follow both opinions, so I follow both opinions. It's just that it looks funny. How do you daven Mincha and then Mariv in the same... So really what you want, that's the Mishnah Berurah definitely says, as a halachic preference, you should not do a Tarti Desasri. You should not do Mincha and Mariv. If you're going to do Mincha before Plag, great. If you want to do early Shabbos, you daven Mincha before Plag and Mariv after Plag. That's what you should do. It should be noted, the Mishnah Berurah, ironically, seems to contradict himself. And in a different place, he says, it's on Erev Shabbos sometimes, and you will see this, I know in a place I used to daven regularly, they weren't so part, a place that was very particular in Halacha, was not so particular about this Tarti Desasri problem. It's something to be avoided, but not at all costs. So I'll leave it like that. Like, if you're in a community, let's say, and they dive in, they don't take care of this problem, don't make waves. Like, it's not worth it. It's not like a halachic disaster. It's a halachically important thing to avoid, but so are other considerations. So there is, I guess what I'm saying is there is flexibility in it. It's definitely a halachic preference, but it's not unmovable. If there are reasons, so for example, if you're in if you're a guest, you're at someone's house, and they're going to be davening in this Tarti Desasri fashion, and it'll make people uncomfortable. If they're going to say, hey, let's skip Mincha, you should make people uncomfortable, you have to daven Mincha. But here, it's a halachic preference, so I think that's a good way of talking about it. Question.
Yeah. Do you have to finish... If you have to leave enough time to finish before you overlap from Mincha to Mariv?
So that's what I said. It's when we talk about the latest time to, it's an interesting question. The latest time to daven Mincha, let's say it's Shkia, sunset. Does that mean you have to be done by sunset? So that's where I say there's like a 9 minute plus buffer. So you have those 9 minutes. So don't worry about it. But I always say, if you're davening, if you're using those 9 minutes, daven quickly. Mincha isn't that long. I would say, don't make this like your longest davening of the year. You know, pace yourself on the quicker side. So I don't know if does that answer your question. That's what I would say. Like, do it. It's also with plag, the same type of thing. If you're going to try to finish your mincha before this plag time, you really should try to really be done before. If you didn't, don't worry about it. Okay. A few other last points on timing. If you're not confused enough about this Plag HaMincha thing, I'm going to just throw in one other caveat. I apologize. I was very deliberate when I told you, how do you calculate Plag HaMincha? Right? It's an hour and a quarter before the end of the day. Whose end of the day? We're going to have the same machlokas, same matter of disagreement as the Magen Avraham and the Vilna Gaon. So if you actually have on your app, they will tell you plag hamincha, but they even say vilnagon. If you go to their expanded alzmanim, you'll actually find there are two plag haminchas. Oh, you have to use your password to sign that in. Here, I'll show you. I'm signed in. So today, for example, plag hamincha is either 427 or 524. That's a very big difference. You should note, especially as it gets into the summer, here at the Kollel, we do early mincha. We do early Shabbos. We usually do early Shabbos at 7 o'clock, right? And we keep it pretty consistent at 7 o'clock. How do we do that? The answer is, if you daven at 7 o'clock, it basically, at here in zip code 89134, you'll basically always be able to, what you always want to do, basically, here's the rule of thumb. Ideally, you want to straddle mincha and mariv on other sides of either plag hamincha or sunset. And I'm teaching you a little trick, a little hack. There are actually two plag haminchas, and either one of them are fine. So if you daven mincha in the summertime at 7 o'clock in zip code 89134, especially if you sometimes start davening a little late intentionally, depending on how you drag things along and the rabbi either speaks longer or shorter or whatever, you'll basically straddle one of those three times the entire summer. So you just have to plan it out. Either one of the plag haminchas are acceptable. Okay? I'm sorry if I got too into the weeds there, but it might be helpful. Two other important notes is this is all about davening. If you daven mariv, you can daven mariv as early as, in theory, plag hamincha. And that's fine. The sun is bright. It's getting towards the end of the day, but you're davening mariv, it's still bright outside. We have to remind ourselves, mariv also has a second component. Mariv is the evening prayer in the Shemona Esrei, but let's not forget, mariv, similar to Shachris, has included within it the Kriya Shema, the evening Shema, which got davenized, it got davenized and swallowed up by mariv. Now you could daven mariv early, which is fine, but the earliest time to recite the evening Shema is actually after stars out. The earliest time, now we'll be a little lenient on that. We'll say 42 minutes is what Rabbi Katanik is comfortable with, 42 or 45 minutes, let's say. He'll do 42 minutes. 42 minutes after sunset. So if you daven early mariv, which is fine, you have to remember to recite the Shema again later, which is why if you ever come to the Kollel Friday night, really throughout the entire year, we daven before sunset and we daven mariv shortly after sunset. So even if you're not doing plag, this plag trick, if it's just sunset, you might be davening mariv, it still might be too early for the Shema. So we'll make an announcement. Please remember to recite the Shema in 15 minutes. You're usually not going to be off by that much. And you got to remember to do that. Okay? What's the latest time you can daven mariv? Ideally, you should recite the Shema, if possible, before halachic midnight. If you didn't, it's fine. You could still, it's a preference, not a requirement. You could recite mariv all the way up, certainly all the way up to dawn. Okay, so if you're up all night, pulling an all-nighter, you can daven all the way, certainly up to dawn, till alos.
If you sleep and woke up before dawn, you could still do it.
Yeah, totally fine. That is our unit on davening times. Before we move on to our next, I guess, subunit, any question on davening times and zmanim and things like that? Was that too confusing? Don't give you a test. It's really, hopefully, you should give you a test? Okay, we'll give everyone a test. Hopefully it's not too good. Maybe one last point. Totally open book. When it comes, just one last thing, when it comes to early Shabbos, if you're a woman, you're lighting Shabbos candles, also remember the earliest time you can light Shabbos candles is at this time, plag hamincha. So if you, I got a busy afternoon, I'll light at 12 noon, that's too early. And your bracha, you're going to have to relight with a bracha. It doesn't count. The earliest you can accept Shabbos is at this time called plag hamincha. Okay? Any other questions?
When you have minyan, when you don't.
Yes. So we're not going to do that today. Now, we're not going to get there tonight, but we will get there. Please, God. It's on our list. We're not done with davening. We're just done with davening times. When to daven. The next, I guess, unit, and I'm sorry for splitting this up in a funny way, that was the when. We've talked about who davens, why do we daven, and this was the when. The next, I guess, mini unit, they're really going to be a bunch of not so connected halachas, but the next one is where do we daven? Where do we daven? And I'm trying to think which one I want to do because there are a lot of... Maybe let's do Tfilas HaDarech. I thought when you talk about where, what about traveling? I was very curious. One of the areas I wanted to cover is let's say you're davening while traveling. And you guys are traveling. So maybe as over almost like a mini introduction to where it's really almost like a standalone. We've got 10 minutes or so. Let's talk about Tfilas HaDarech, which if you have a sitter is found on page, I'm going to see one of these. Tfilas HaDarech, the traveler's prayer, or I'm sure they translated as the wayfarer's prayer, which interesting in halacha is actually very closely connected to the Shemona Esrei. It's a form of prayer when you're in a time of need. It's found on page 223 in the English. Okay, the prayer is on the top of 222. You see where on the bottom, sort of like the halfway down, they have these verses, recite three times, recite three times, recite three times. I don't love that. And it's fine. You could recite those verses three times, but the art scroll like implies that like this is actually part of the prayer. It's not. The prayer is the first half of the, up till it says recite three times. You see the first half of the first half of the page. Those verses are traditions. You want to say them, great. I never recite them. And I don't feel guilty. It's nice. You can add, the halacha is you can add things on. That's not really the tefillah. I think it's a little, they should have made a bigger mark of differentiation. That's not the prayer. The prayer is the first half, period. It's a nice thing. You want to, people have a tradition of adding on some verses, add on some verses. But that is not tefillah sadarach. That's not the wayfarer's prayer. Tefillah sadarach is recited, anytime you're going on a trip. The question is what type of trip? How far is a trip? A trip is defined, the halachic journey, it's considered a journey of a parsa, one parsa outside of your city. Now, a parsa is roughly 3 miles, 3 to 4 miles. Any journey outside of your city, you should make a tefillah sadarach, you should recite the prayer, and you're good. The question, now here in Las Vegas, it's actually very helpful because on the East Coast, it's very confusing because you live in a city and the city turns into suburbs, rolling suburbs, a little bit more rolling suburbs. Next thing you know, like I live in the DC area. I live in a suburb. I grew up in a suburb immediately north of DC, right? In the suburb. You keep on driving farther north. You go from Silver Spring, and then you're kind of in Burtonsville. You're in Burtonsville. You cross the reservoir. Now you're in Columbia. Columbia was always, what's Columbia? Is that a suburb of DC, or it's really the beginning? Howard County. I always thought that's more of a suburb of Baltimore. Next thing you know, you're in Baltimore. The tradition I know where I came from is no one recites Tfilas HaDarech, even though it's way more than 3 miles from DC to Baltimore. DC and Baltimore are different universes socially. I mean, people always like DC and Baltimore is a rivalry. There's no rivalry. DC and Baltimore may as well be on opposite ends of the coast of the country. They are such different cities, just like they're just totally different. It's so interesting. It's like here in Henderson, like DC and Baltimore are different universes. The tradition is people don't, I know. I'm not saying everyone does this. I did not recite Tfilas HaDarech going from DC to Baltimore. I would recite Tfilas HaDarech going from DC to New York. DC to Philly probably would also. I usually would recite Tfilas HaDarech once I got outside of the Harbor Tunnel. That's usually what I would do, or the Fort McHenry Tunnel. So on the East Coast, it's a little harder to determine where does a city end. But certainly here in Vegas, one of the nice things of Vegas is it is very clearly defined when you're outside of Las Vegas. Matter of fact, really properly, you should say Tfilas HaDarech going to Mount Charleston. I do. I sometimes, I mean, you're more than 3 miles. You're clearly out of the city. There's nothing out there. So I recite the Tefillah Sederach. Sometimes I'll just leave out God's name at the end, depending how I'm feeling. Either I will recite it or I won't. That's considered a journey. Anytime you're on an airplane, recite Tefillah Sederach. Anytime you travel, anytime you're on a boat, you're going on a boat, you recite the Tefillah Sederach. And that's a story. How often do you recite Tefillah Sederach? If you're on, let's say, a road trip. So the halacha is when you stop for the night and go to sleep, the next morning is considered a hafsek, an interruption, meaning the sleeping in a hotel overnight is a hafsek, it's an interruption. You need to recite a new prayer in the morning. If you're traveling through the night, you don't recite the prayer when you wake up. So if you're on a boat, presumably you recite the bracha once, even though you'll be sleeping throughout the night, you're still traveling, don't recite a bracha. And that is that. Now, when do you say Tefillah Sederach? When is the proper time to say it? In theory, you could say it according to the Taz, as soon as you're in your car. I'm going on a road trip. Tefillah Sederach is a prayer for safety. By the way, let me just take a side. Who's responsible to say Tefillah Sederach? Men or women? Everyone. If you think about it, Tefillah Sederach is a prayer for safety. Who needs safety? Everyone needs, but it's equal obligation for men and women. Now, in theory, you can have one person recite it and everyone else says amen, but you don't need to. Everyone, it's same reason why I daven my own Shmoneh Esrei and you daven your own Shmoneh Esrei. Really, everyone can recite their own Tefillah Sederach, and that's fine. And you're totally okay with that. And that's fine. Tefillah Sederach should be, in theory, you could start reciting Tefillah Sederach. You're in your driveway. You know, I need protection. I'm like, you know, it's dangerous roads out there. Now again, the prayer was only instituted on a journey. So even though it's dangerous just going from here around the corner, we definitely, if you want to say the prayer, that's fine, but just don't say God's name at the end. If you want to say it because you feel like you need a little protection, you feel it's a danger. By the way, and I've done that. Like it was snowy or rainy and I really needed to go. I've said Tefillah Sederach just without the bracha at the end. You see how it ends, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei Tefillah? You could say Baruch Atah Shomei Tefillah. Then you could say it whenever you do that whenever you want. You're not required. That's not a bracha levatah. It's not a bracha. It's not a proper prayer. But if you're actually, the bracha is instituted and really required on a halachic journey, which we mentioned is 3 miles out of a city, which means in theory, you could say the bracha in your driveway. And I actually have done that on occasion. And I would encourage you, certainly if you're traveling by yourself and you don't know the prayer, right? Here's a problem. You don't know the prayer by heart. So you want to recite the prayer. So it's going to be hard to drive while you're praying, right? So just say it in your driveway. It's totally fine. There is a halachic idea of saying it once you're outside of the city. The reason for that is because so long that you're in your city, you might decide, you know what? Just joking. I'm going back home. And you've recited a bracha levatala. Your prayer was a prayer that was for naught because you changed your mind. Once you're outside of the city, okay, you mean business. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says is a nice idea, but it's certainly not a halachic requirement. And very often, if I'm going on a long journey, especially if I'm like, I feel like sometimes I'm nervous, I'm going to forget to say Tefillah Sederach. I just say it right as I get into the car. And that's, it's not the preference, but sometimes I just do it to like, know that I got it out of the way. And I definitely encourage, say Tefillah Sederach. It's an important thing. Can it be recited in English? Of course, like any prayer. You could recite it in English if that's your preference, and you should say it. Okay, I'll tell you. I say Tefillah Sederach anytime I get on my bike and I'm riding out, like especially to Red Rock. I say Tefillah Sederach without Hashem's name because I'm very nervous. All it takes is one bad driver and I'm crushed. So I say Tefillah Sederach four times in my life. I said Tefillah Sederach on my bike with the actual Shemumachos, which is the actual bracha. There were four times I went on really long bike rides, intercity bike rides. That was cool. Saying Tefillah Sederach on a bike. That was really cool. So I have done that. And that's the story with Tefillah Sederach, with the Wayfarer's Prayer. Next time, we'll talk about some of the other elements of where we daven, maybe other questions about when we travel. There are other questions that come, not so much Tefillah Sederach, but what about davening Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv, on a plane, on a boat? It's really not too complicated. We'll talk about where to daven in terms of davening in a shul. We'll talk about other things as it relates to the place that we daven. And please God, we'll do that next time. Although I should mention, let me actually mention this right now. I'm not here next week. Okay, so let's hold off. I'm going to be out of town next week. Unless something changes and I'm planning on traveling, speaking of travel, I will be gone on Monday. So let's assume we're not meeting unless I tell you, unless I let you know otherwise. You guys study for the test. All right, you study for the test. If we need a review, I'm sorry if I did, if it was too confusing. If we need a review, happy to go over everything.
You've been listening to the Jewish Living Podcast with Rabbi Nachum Math. Please do us a favor and like and share this podcast, ask a question, or leave a comment.